This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
It is hour number two. Thanks for joining us as we continue with Wake Up Call. We have got the Kansas City Chiefs on the clock today. Good friend of the program, Alex Gold, will join us. We will talk about the Chiefs as they are the back-to-back AFC champions. And, you know, when we talk about success in this league, we talk about these windows of time. You know, obviously, we've been talking about the Patriots this morning with Cam Newton getting released and Mac Jones being the starting quarterback. But the reality is that you get a window if when you put together an excellent team, when your organization has found the right quarterback that's a superstar, and not only a superstar, but like a next-level superstar, and you put talented players around them, and they have an offense that's unstoppable or a defense that no one can score on, there's only a window of time before that starts to get broken down, right? And you got players that will just jettison for other better opportunities financially, et cetera. Players will get hurt. There'll be cracks. There'll be another team that'll rise up. And the Kansas City Chiefs yet come into this season as the favorite to win the Super Bowl, a big favorite to win the AFC. And it seems like the Chiefs machine will move along. For the third straight year, they're going to be one of the top teams in this league. Now, you want to have that last as long as possible, maybe not to get it to 20 years like the New England Patriots. But, you know, the Steelers had a very good run with Ben Roethlisberger. There were some years they didn't make the playoffs, and there were some years where they were really good but just lost to New England. But the Chiefs right now have sort of taken the sort of reins of the AFC, and right now even the reins of the NFL. So we'll talk about them as we preview their chances of being a three-time AFC representative in the Super Bowl. We've also got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up, so you don't want to miss that. And then we'll get into more about my obsession with this Bishop Sycamore story, because I think to me, with the fascination with this is just much larger than some weird curiosity about how this team, a collection of players that nobody registered and nobody knew about, and how they ended up on a national televised game. There is a larger issue at stake when it comes to the way some of these teams are put together. We'll also talk about a name, image, and likeness deal that is just off the charts good for one particular quarterback going to Ohio State. He's already going to enter Columbus a multimillionaire. It is going to be wild in the next couple of years what the deals are going to be for these kids. We'll continue with Wake Up Call. Good, the bad, and the dumb next on Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, the dumb, as we continue along the midweek edition on Wednesday. What is the good of the day today?
You know what? A lot of people have been putting this, you know, making fun of this. And yes. I don't know how you feel about it, but I need to have your opinion.
Sure.
But I'm putting this in a good. It's a kind of a cautious good. But it goes, all right. It goes to the University of South Carolina.
Oh, very good. Yeah.
If you haven't heard, South Carolina, their starting quarterback got hurt during training camp this year. Will not be available at the beginning part of the season. So they are turning to their grad assistant coach, and he will become your starting quarterback for week one.
So he's putting the whistle away to become the quarterback of the football team.
Yes.
Yeah, Luke Dottie is the quarterback that they were high on. He got hurt in practice. So his Ben Nylander, is that who it is?
Nolan.
Nolan, I'm sorry.
Or no, Zeb Nolan.
I just got it completely wrong. I don't even know the guy's name, and yet he's starting for my team this weekend.
I mean, he turned 24 earlier this month.
Oh God, grandpa out there. Why don't you just give him a rocker?
Because of the COVID.
Oh.
Because of the COVID, he has a year of eligibility left.
They're gonna put a red flag on him? You don't want to hurt the elderly.
Well, I mean, he's not that old. Come on.
24 years old? Starting at, who is he, Chris Winkie?
Yes.
Give me a break.
Yes, he is. And that worked out well for Florida back then, right?
Yeah, Florida State.
Florida State.
Yeah, Chris Winkie was like 29, something like that, 28. Well,
that was a grandpa.
Yeah, because he played minor league baseball.
So, I mean, I know a lot of people have been making fun of this, but you know what? I kind of like the idea. I guess, you know, if you don't have a decent backup quarterback for your number one guy, Go to the grad assistant.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Shane Beamer did say, hey, guys, this is not a guy who's been coaching a while and jumping back in. He played last year. He played in the spring for the University of, like, Northern Iowa or something like that.
Something like that.
I don't know. I think it was.
Yeah, he spent time with Iowa State and North Dakota State, backing up Brock Purdy and Trey Lance.
Oh, okay. So he played in the spring. But yeah, good for him.
Yeah, and he has
playing at the University of South Carolina.
Since he has a year of eligibility, why not use it?
I do think the criticism is a little weird. Is right though. Like, okay, I know it's Shane Beamer's first year, but like, is the cupboard that bare?
True. That's
right. Like, is like, ask Alabama if they need a grad assistant to play any position at all on their football team.
Yeah. You gotta feel
like
bad.
Ask Nick Saban. Are you so thin at linebacker that you need a grad assistant? He'd probably laugh.
Well,
he's like, my 15th guy on my depth chart is a 5-star All American.
That's like, the thing too.
That's what
he's
we
been,
have.
He's been sharing practice time with senior redshirt Jason Brown. And so Jason Brown transferred to South Carolina and didn't get the starting gig.
See, I would be, the transfer portal is wide open, wide open. Like, I can't get a job over a coach. The guy's coaching, and you gave him the starting quarterback.
He's
job?
Telling me, he's teaching me what to do, and the coach went, "Why don't you just play?"
Yeah. Hey, you know what they say, coach? Those who can't teach, no, I guess you can. You're a starting quarterback. It's gonna be fun. Wait till he runs out of that. Once he runs out of that tunnel to Sandstorm in the 2001 Space Odyssey theme, it's gonna be jacked up. South Carolina. God, the first time I saw 2001, I thought I was going to scream. So wild. Just the whole stadium, and then they build up that crescendo of that theme, and then when they hit the mark, the players run out on the field, and everybody goes nuts. You're going to love it. Going to love it. Good for him. That is a good. All right, what's the bad then?
The bad of the day is the PGA Tour.
Yeah, they stink.
Acting as, I guess, a mom right now.
Yeah.
Threatening to kick out any fan who refers to Bryson DeChambeau as Brooksy.
Yeah, what? Why? No, they're doing this for...
It's
what's
petty.
Their official reasoning behind it? Is that they're doing it for the good of the game, because the game is... Like, they want to separate their game as... It's hard to put this in words. Like,
yeah.
It's like an elitism that is golf that they want to protect. Is that what it is?
I think
like, we don't want unruly fans at our tournament.
They want to, what's the sanctimony of the game?
Right, that's it. It's a good word. Look at us with our grammar.
I know.
Our big brains.
And I didn't even read that. That just came off the top of my head. That's where I'm at today.
Are they concerned about some sort of level of unruliness? Like, it just, you know, like, it just snowballs into a mess? And then it ends up turning into, like, what you have at, like, football stadiums or whatever, or soccer stadiums.
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of
like, we just allow this, and it'll multiply and multiply and multiply and multiply, and then next thing you know, we've got people booing players and cheering bad shots.
Is that such a bad thing?
No,
I mean, here's the outlook I'm looking at. Okay, is all right, PGA Tour, go ahead. You know, you're going to kick out someone who refers to Bryson DeChambeau as Brooksy. He proves that Bryson DeChambeau has very, very thin skin, if that's really getting on his nerves.
Well, hold on.
Right?
Before we make that accusation, did he complain about this to the PGA Tour?
That's a good thought. Yeah,
and they are reacting to him. Maybe he's like, I couldn't care less. I don't know why they're doing this.
Yeah, that's true. But he hasn't came out and said that.
No, he should. If I would. That would be the first thing. As soon as I saw this news, I'd be getting the word out to the media. I'd be like, I did not ask for this at all. I mean, I'm doing fine. I just lost a 6-hole playoff and the second match of the second to the last tour event of the season. I'm good. I don't care. But
well, I guess
he should though.
He did shout out after he lost the playoff to Patrick Cantlay. This past weekend, right?
The BMW Championship. BMW Championship.
Somebody had yelled at him, "Great job, Brooksy!" And he shouted back, "You know what? Get the bleep out."
Okay, so now, okay, with that in mind, he probably does support this.
He probably does.
He probably does. So, yeah. So now, yeah, you're right. He probably does have thin skin.
Probably has thin skin. It's probably, yeah. I mean,
go back to your original point now. If he has thin, yeah, it does prove that. If he's not, yeah.
I mean, so, I mean, the PGA Tour is kind of acting like a mom.
Yeah.
Man, I don't think we need that. These are grown men.
Think about this. This is, okay, this is why I talk about how much I like the Ryder Cup so much. Because
that's where I'm concerned. If he's on the Ryder Cup, they're going to let him have it, right?
Well, not for the United States. This will be at Whistling Straits. But when he goes overseas, they will. Yeah, like in 2 years? When he's on the Ryder Cup in 2 years?
You don't think European fans aren't going to travel?
Oh, European fans will travel, but they'll be outweighed by the U.S. fans. The U.S. fans will dominate the noise. But this is why I like the Ryder Cup so much, because take a kid today, right? And you train him, and he practices, and he's got his natural ability to be a pro golfer, right? There is no place in his growth as a golfer where he's going to face an adverse crowd. He is not going to ever he will never experience what it's like to win a road game, right? Every golf tournament he goes to, every junior tournament he plays in, every amateur tournament he plays in, it's just going to be appreciative crowds that show up for those things. Moms and dads and friends and family and some people, locals that may come for the bigger amateur events. They're all of them will be just in awe of the talent and in awe of the scoring, that there will be no booing or heckling or anything like that. So they never, ever, ever develop a skill of what it is going to be like when something like that happens. So the only thing that they can respond to is, well, you got to leave. Whereas you take a football player or a baseball player and you're like, yeah, do that in front of 60,000 people that want to watch you fail and will cheer when it happens. Like, those kids are growing up learning to know what it's like to go on the road and perform. To perform when 90,000 people are screaming at you to fail. Golfers never experience this. Tennis players never really experience this either. Even though people may be rooting in the stands for a particular player, they're not booing you for your hitting it into the net or something. So Bryson DeChambeau never has experienced in his life somebody heckling him. And so, yeah, they're going to have to grow a little bit here. Because he should.
But, I mean, he's not the first golfer to ever be heckled.
No.
That's where I'm having the problem with. I mean, especially, just think back in, like, recently. Rory McIlroy probably gets heckled all the time. Jordan Spieth gets heckled. Maybe not on the course, but definitely in the media.
Well, but on the course, it's not as – it's kind of rare, because when it does happen, they point it out.
You got to have, like, a certain decorum on the
course. On the course, right. Right, and there is a
times
pressure.
Are changing,
but like Tiger Woods would get heckled, and Steve Williams used to throw cameras in the lakes.
That's true.
that's how they used to handle that.
Oh wait, he fired his caddy. Never
right.
mind.
Yeah, that's right. All right, what's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day goes to the I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, but the Henrico School Board.
Henrico scoreboard?
Yeah, it's based in Virginia. They held a public moratorium committee, whatever you want to have it, a public talk about their school policy, especially towards mask mandates and COVID.
All right.
And I bring that up, and I'm going to bring up something else because the two stories are going to combine. I know you're a Simpsons fan.
I love the Simpsons, right? Yeah.
Do you remember all the times Bart Simpson would call Moe's Tavern?
All the time, yeah.
And used aliases?
Yeah, different play on words.
So those two worlds combined. So I have to give it to the school board committee, because there was a guy there, and there's video to show it, just reading off names of the next speakers.
Oh, my God.
And lo and behold, those guys, those people, the names he was calling up never showed up. And some of these names I cannot say on the air. The only one I probably can say would be Eileen Dover. That's probably the cleanest out of all of them.
Yeah.
But he did. He went through a list of about 5-6 names and would repeat them, like Eileen Dover.
Okay. Would we fall for that?
I don't think we would.
Gave you a list of names and said, okay, here's the names I need you to read these off of.
Yeah, but these are names that We've all heard before.
Okay, listen, if I get a name to read and the first name is Seymour, I'm going to go, okay, I don't know. I think this is fake.
Well, the first one he read, I'll say that it was Phil.
Okay.
And you know the rest. Yeah, I'm not going to say it.
But, okay, so how long would it take you reading the names before you realize this is a mistake?
I might read one.
Yeah.
And there was a no-show, and then by the time I get to the second one, I think I would start to have an understanding.
The reason I'm asking you this is because there's a famous, famous, famous video of a plane crash, and then a San Francisco newscaster read the names, and they're just play on words.
Yeah, and it was a Asian flight.
Right, an Asian flight. Yeah. And so they read these names, and of course they had these meanings, these other meanings. And I kept thinking to myself, I don't know if I blame the news person because she's just reading what she sees on the teleprompter, right? Like some producer put that together and said, here's the names, read them. I blame the people who put it together.
Yeah.
Like people who are writing it down and then putting it in the teleprompter. Same thing here. Maybe the guy reading it is like halfway through. He's like, wait a minute. But the people who are writing it down, don't you think it's enough time for your brain to process? This is not right.
By the time you get, I'll tell you off air what the third name was. By the time you get to the third name, you should know.
You gotta know. All right. That's the good, bad, and the dumb. Alex Gold will join us this hour to talk Kansas City Chiefs as we continue his wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, when you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com, just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring it out to you curbside. Or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. My apologies. Alex Gold in Kansas City is going to be next hour. We're going to preview the Chiefs in hour number two. All right, so I want to continue our conversation from hour one about Bishop Sycamore, because you brought it up yesterday in the Good, the Bad, and the Dumb, and I told you that I went into a deep, deep dive.
I knew you were going to, because the story is there's too many legs to it. It's too fascinating.
Yeah, I could not get enough. I kept reading it and reading it, and I'm sort of fascinated with it, because I got to be honest with you, I have seen. You know, in my sports time, I have seen the real exponential growth of where high school athletics is going, right? Like the importance now of where, like now with name, image, and likeness, it's even more important.
Yeah.
Because you don't even need to do anything.
I mean, growing
to land multi-million dollar contracts.
Growing up, you and I didn't have, there wasn't a school like IMG Academy.
No, not at all.
You know,
right?
That was, I mean, specifically built for elite athletes.
Like when I was younger growing up, I remember reading about, like, it was like in Sports Illustrated or somewhere else, like Andre Agassi going to be to this like tennis school.
Right.
Like he was a couple of years older than me, but like for high school,
he didn't really have that for tennis school. The major sports.
Right. But we didn't do that for like baseball. Like it wasn't a baseball school. Like you went to like you would go, oh, he's leaving and his family's moving to Florida to participate in this baseball school.
Yeah, one thing you did have, though, is that when you had like a top high school, I remember this with De La Salle in California, because they were always top of the table, you know, one of the best teams in California year after year after year, that people, really good athletes moved into that area.
Yeah,
to be in that school district.
Absolutely.
To go to that school.
Absolutely. So that's always kind of gone on. You're right.
That's what's going on. And then, you know, then you had private schools that are like, well, we can just offer them a scholarship.
So here was a situation where there was this online school that wasn't even accredited in the Columbus area and yet had this supposedly elite football team. And then I'm reading this parent. This parent documented, like, basically was interviewed about their experiences, and his son played quarterback. And his son is a pretty good quarterback. And I remember thinking, how did you get into this? How did you – what – was attractive about this? Like he was talking about how his son was getting some scholarship offers and whatnot, you know, based on these camps that he would go to. And I'm like, how did you end up with this online unaccredited school with a football program where the parents were like, pretty much paying for all the stuff. Right? I was like, how did you get duped? And so I'm reading this, and one of the school officials is like, no, this is a legit school. They parted ways with the coach. But this is not a scam. And I'm like, if you have to say you're not a scam, it's because people think you're a scam. Like, if you spend most of your time defending yourself from people who say you're a scam, something about you is not right. Right? Like, I don't look at my daughter's high school and think that's a scam because they want me to pay like $100 for whatever when she plays basketball. I go, this is a legit high school. Like, it's a public school. She plays on the team, etc. Somehow, some way, people were getting like duped into this. But I think the thing that is like, look, we were talking about this earlier about name, image, and likeness, and we'll get to this story about this Ohio quarterback, this Texas kid that's going to sign a deal that's over $1 million. So when parents are putting a lot of emphasis on their kids' natural athletic ability, right? Like, there's a point in your child's growth where they are going to be seen as better than everybody in around them, right? So, and it's not just better amongst the kids they play against and play with, better than everybody around them, meaning counties, areas of the state, right? There's just going to be a level where you reach where people go, that kid is going to be, and you don't have to go be a star in the NFL or be a star at a college anymore to get a return on that investment. You just have to have the appearance of being good. This kid from Texas is $1.4 million that he's getting in a named image. He's going to go to Ohio State and be the quarterback. He might be the worst quarterback in Buckeyes history. He might be the greatest quarterback in Ohio State history. We don't know, but we know this. He's got a guaranteed $1.4 million deal in front of him. So now when parents are investing so much of their time and effort and sacrifice, and they're like, I pray he gets a scholarship. He doesn't even need a scholarship to have this payoff. All he needs is some sort of visibility, some sort of legend, and people will come. If he gets on a team, the name, image, and likeness will start popping up. And it's just weird. It's a new weird world. And if you think the sort of uncomfortableness of watching parents put pressure on kids, wait till they start realizing that money is flowing in from all directions if they can get on ESPN as a high school student. I mean, it's going to be crazy. And that's where, and I'm not saying this Bishop Sycamore thing is a scam, but it looks like it. But that's when you start seeing the snakes coming out of the hives, right? Out of the nests to sort of attack.
But it's hard not to see it as a scam. That's the problem. I mean, I know
there was
you don't
nothing
want to use
legitimate
those words.
In any article I read. There was nothing that made me go, this is legit.
They give you an address to the school, it's a duplex. They give you another address to the school, it's like the city library or something like right. that. There's nothing, you know, even one kid was talking about, it's like, yeah, you know, they showed us the blueprints of the school. We were going to be like the first kids at the school, but, you know, they're going to build one and they showed us blueprints.
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, why would you go there?
Well, the parent that was interviewed in the article, he was like, they told us we were going to all be on buses to this camp. And then at the last minute, they said, oh, yeah, the bus is canceled. You all have to drive. And then he found out later there was no buses. There were never any buses. They were never going to pay for them. What they did was they convinced everybody that there would be buses. And then at the last minute went, oh, yeah, the bus company canceled. In an emergency, can you all drive each other and maybe carpool?
I mean, the stones on this guy.
And then they did. And afterwards, he did research and he was like, they never ordered a bus at all, knowing that they didn't have the money to pay for it. There was no money. And it's the same thing at the hotel. They would go to hotels and they would check in and then they would try to get out. They got out and they would go be an unpaid bill. One hotel said, we're never allowing you to stay here again.
Well, they were also writing bounce checks.
Right, bounce
like
checks.
Just bad checks. I mean, just...
So, how do you get involved in these things? How do families get involved in these things? What I mean, it's what it is salesmen, guys, con artists who do this. All right, we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about this deal for this Ohio State player coming up in the new world of college athletics. Plus, more on the NFL as we continue to preview some teams. Coming up on Wake Up Call.
listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along. It is Sports Map Radio, and it is Wake Up Call. Cam Newton getting cut by the Patriots, and Mac Jones, the Alabama quarterback, is going to be the starter. And this means Tua, Jalen Hurts, Mac Jones, three former Alabama quarterbacks are now taking the reins of their teams. There you go. Good job, Nick Saban. Oh, A.J. McCarron, the former Alabama quarterback, he got hurt in Alabama, just in case you were keeping track or, you know, jotting down notes.
Atlanta, right?
Atlanta, yeah.
Yeah.
Led to Josh Rosen staying on the 53-man roster. Exactly.
Just squeaking in there.
Exactly. Quinn Ewers, a Texas quarterback who's going to Ohio State, signed a name, image, and likeness deal with GT Sports Marketing. $1.4 million.
Insane.
It's insane. He's going to college with that money coming at him before he even takes a snap for the Buckeyes. Now, yesterday we were talking about how coaches are making these quarterback decisions. And let's be honest, your most high-profile player is your quarterback. You know, but in, at least on a football team, and basketball, it could be anybody, but football, it's your quarterback. And when they announce this for these big schools, like Texas A&M and Texas, for example, or any other place where there might be a quarterback issue, you are handing that individual, when you make that decision, you are handing that kid a very lucrative life. You are giving him an opportunity now to make a tremendous amount of money. Now, he may have a few little small deals because he's on the team and he's competing for the job, and maybe they want to get their little marketing tentacles into him before when he does become the starter. But for the most part, the money really will start coming in once you are the starter, once you are the sort of face of the team, if you will. And so when Steve Sarkisian announced that Card, the kid who's going to start for Texas, here come the endorsements. Here come the opportunities to go make a ton of money. Ewers is getting $1.4 million, and he'll be signing some autographs and be part of some marketing deal. And he walks into campus a multimillionaire, right? Because he's got some other deals on the road. So he's probably close to $2 million. He is a millionaire before he steps foot on campus. And that's the way it's going to be down the road. You know what is interesting about this, Ron? We are seeing, this is just the small fruits, right? Do we believe it that any of this in the next 5 to 10 years is going to be rolled back at all? No. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. And the pockets are going to get deeper and filled even more as this gets a lot of steam. Once people get an idea of how this works and the benefit to their company to be marketing with these guys, whether it's autographs that will sell online or some part of it, whatever it may be, they are going to be riding a wave of cash down the road. We kind of joked about it, about Arch Manning. Like Arch Manning, you know, he comes from a very wealthy family, but Arch is going to have his own bank account full of dough by the time he gets to whatever college he finally chooses.
He's going to, I can't even imagine what he's going to have.
Exactly.
He's a sophomore in high school or junior?
Yeah.
Sophomore, right? Or junior?
I think he's a junior. I think he's
junior,
junior
in high school. I mean, I bet he's getting offers now.
Sure. And they're probably already trying to figure out a way to do it because you want to be the first.
Right. And are there rules to it too? As you know, you can't touch a high school kid just yet. Like it was in college. College kids couldn't speak to an agent inside high school.
No,
we got to bring it all back down to high school now.
No, because the NCAA rule only cared about college kids. But if you took money as an amateur, you weren't going to be an amateur, right? So if you took money in high school to do something, you were considered a pro. So you couldn't play amateur football. So now that it is, this name, image, and likeness is open on that level, you can make it as a college, a high school kid if you want, right? You can do it as one of those AAU basketball players. You can sign a deal. You can make money as a high school kid now. So Quinn Ewers, again, steps on campus with $1.4 million deal. I mean, you want to talk about impressing the student body, you know, show up in like a Rolls Royce, right? But, you know, all kidding aside, right? Oh, can you imagine like dating a girl and like paying her tuition off?
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I really like this girl, Susan. We hit it off big. I think I'm just going to pay for her education.
Yeah, gonna get in trouble.
Yeah, I know.
Not like giving up your class ring.
Right, exactly. But you know what I do worry about is you hope that some of these kids have some sort of strong family support. And family is loose. It can be an uncle. It could be you could be living with family, friends, whatever. Somebody in your life that you trust. Because when there is money, there are scammers. And there are people going to come after it. Ask any lottery winner. Ask any NFL, Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL rookie. Once that initial money starts coming in, here comes the cousins you've never heard of before. Here comes everybody reaching out to you to save their child. You're the only one that can save my... He needs this life-saving surgery, and they won't give it to him unless I get $100,000. Can you save my child? Right? Here come the sharks. They're all going to come. The scammers, the con artists. They're all going to be preying on 17 to 18-year-old kids who now have a lot of money. And they're going to have to learn to say no, because a lot of people don't know how to say no. And that's one of the scary drawbacks of winning the lottery, right? Is you can't save everybody and you're going to be asked by everybody. Please buy me a house. My house burnt down. Please give me a car. I don't have a car. I don't have this. I have a job, but I can't get to it. You're going to be inundated with all these things. And some of it are legit, but some of it is people trying to get after you. And you hope that there are people in your life that will say, I gotcha. I gotcha. We're going to put this money away. You're only going to get this amount of money. This is going to be used down the road. You got to tell people you couldn't touch all of it if you wanted to touch all of it, because that's important. The same lessons that you give NFL rookies and NBA rookies, give to these kids. I hope there is a place for them to learn it, because there might be some sad stories down the road of student athletes who had one brief moment where they shined, right? Think about the quarterback that doesn't make it, right? Think about the QB that gets to a college, right? And he is Hudson Card, for example, at Texas. Think about him arriving on campus, becoming the Texas quarterback. He makes, let's say, $3 million in name, image, and likeness deals being the starter at Texas. But by week 8, he suffers a broken leg. He loses his starting job and he's never heard from again. And nobody wants him. You know, maybe some people give him a little money to sign an autograph or two and have some picture taken at some restaurant or bar, but the big deals are gone. And that's all he has. So he gets his education. He's going to go get a job, but he's got a really cool nest egg. But instead, he was scammed out of it. He was taken. So many people came at him in all different ways, and he got taken, and all of it's gone. And he didn't know what to do. I would feel bad for that, because there's that opportunity, and it's gone. So I hope so. But we'll be marveling at deals like this for forever and ever. And you know what? Here's the deal, guys. I'm going to give a lot of you younger people out there listen a little lesson. Because a lot of you guys equate, and it's no fault, because I get it. A lot of you guys equate when a quarterback, for example, is given a deal, a big, huge deal. And I hear this a lot, where people go, he hasn't done anything yet, right? He hasn't won anything. And I always remind you, right, that they give you a quarterback, they give you that money because you got to lock up players at the right time. You got to lock up a starting quarterback with that kind of money, or you lose the starting quarterback. And it's the same thing here. Quinn Ewers is getting $1.4 million, and a lot of it is autograph deals that he'll sign a bunch of things, and they'll be able to sell those things down the road. And they're betting that he will be a successful college quarterback, that he will be part of the success of Ohio State. And the marriage of these two entities, him and this college, will result in people wanting to buy things that he's attached to. That's the gamble. That's what they're paying for, right? They're not waiting until he becomes a star and then the endorsements come in, because by that time it's too late. You jump on this as soon as you can, because when he does become a star, you're in deep competition with everybody else that wants a piece of him for exclusivity. So when you can get your hooks in as a marketing agency into a young athlete on the college level, before he even takes a snap at a school, or before he takes a snap as a starter, maybe he was a backup for 2 years, you do it because everybody else is watching and jumping in as soon as they can. And that's how you get these high dollar figures. And it is going to get worse and worse and worse. Well, better and better and better, depending on how you look at it. Maybe people think this is horrible. Maybe some people think this is well-deserved. Who knows? But the more exposure these guys get, the more this money is going to be rolling in. It's really amazing. I mean, I I look fondly. I mean, I think most of us sort of romanticize being broke college kids a little bit. Like, I waited tables, you know, hardly any money, but, you know, being a broke college kid is cool, right? I mean, it's you and your roommates devise ways to make ramen noodles last and taste delicious, right? And getting, you know, maybe going out to dinner is a big deal. But can you imagine going to college? You haven't even stepped foot at college yet, and you already got $1.4 million coming at you. What you do with it? What would you do with it, Ron, if you were walking in college and you had that kind of money? It would be crazy, wouldn't it?
It would be insane. I wouldn't.
Where would you live? Would you buy a house? Would you buy a mansion?
When I was in college, I did what every 18-year-old does. I walked up to one of those tables that was in the quad and signed myself up for a credit card. And lo and behold, that credit card company gave me $2,000.
Yeah.
And I shopped and spent so quickly.
Sure.
My head was spinning. Take my friends, like, hey, you guys want to go to that pool hall? I'll pay for it. Hey, you guys need, you know, that? I'll pay for it. No problem. Put it on the card. I can't imagine if you all of a sudden you just gave me like $1 million, why am I even in school?
I know.
Like, how do you motivate me to go to class at that point?
I remember when I was a freshman in South Carolina, my friend Robert Cahaley, who's with the Trevalga Group, runs the Trevalga Group. I remember him calling me up in the dorm one time, and it was like 1 o'clock, like 12:30. It was late, but I was up, and he called. He goes, "What you doing?" I go, "Nothing." He goes, "Get ready. I'm coming down with the car. We're going to Denny's." And I didn't have any money to go to Denny's.
Right.
Like, I didn't have any money to go to Denny's. And I go, I can't go to Denny's. I go, I don't have any money. He goes, get dressed. Just get downstairs. Get dressed. I'll be down there in 5 minutes. And I remember going downstairs and I go, I don't have, he goes, no, I got it. And I remember going, oh my God, this is going to be great. Like, I didn't know money to go to Denny's. Like, I couldn't go to Denny's. How much is Denny's back in like the late 80s, early 90s? How much was a meal at Denny's? $5?
Maybe.
Right?
Plus tip.
Right? I mean, $7-$8. I didn't have any money to go to Denny's.
But that's what we're talking about here, is right? That all of a sudden you're giving these college kids, you know, $1 million. What was the signing? It's like
$1.4 million. Just the $400,000 part of that is amazing.
That would be enough for me.
Golly. Like, so, seriously, do you buy a house? I mean, do you buy a house in Columbus? Or do you live in the athletic dorm and just bank this money? What do you do with it?
I don't think you buy a house.
Do you buy real estate at 18 years old?
I don't know. You gotta get yourself a finance guy.
Yeah, you jump in that right away. You gotta take care of this for me. I don't know.
The finance guy will immediately go, no, here's $400.
Yeah. I met this really nice girl in algebra. I'd like to fly her to Paris for dinner. Yeah. No, we're not doing that. No, you're not taking her to Paris.
Take her to Denny's.
Now, there's a nice French restaurant in downtown Columbus. That's where you can take her. We'll make reservations for that. No, but we're not getting a private jet and flying to Paris for dinner. No, we're not doing that.
No, but this is a very real thing now. I mean,
yeah.
for these college kids, I mean, barely out of high school. You know, like, I mean, I'll go back to Arch Manning. You know, I'm sure there's offers being flooded into him right now where, I mean, he's not even in college. He's a freshman, and he's like, well, you know, by the time I set foot on whichever school, you know, is it going to be University of Mississippi or Tennessee or whatever? By the time he sets foot on that school, he'll be like, yeah, I'm already $5 million rich.
I will tell you right now, my son, he's a very, very smart kid, got great grades. Giving him $1.4 million today would be the stupidest thing anybody would have ever done ever. My son would blast through that with insane purchases. He'd be like, I bought a life-size dinosaur ceramic. Like, he would just go crazy if he had that kind of money at his age. Right? He'd lose his mind. He'd be buying all of his friends' cars.
Yeah.
All of his friends would have brand new cars. He would be that nuts. I think this is going to be fun. It's going to be interesting to watch how this develops. All right, we'll continue along. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, next hour we'll preview the Kansas City Chiefs as we continue along with Wake Up Call. Alex Gold will join us, two-time AFC champs. The Mac Jones situation in New England. Let's put a bow on this for a quick second. Do you think it works? I mean, in the end, do you think this kid is going to be leading the Patriots to some level
of
success?
The only thing
I'm going back and forth with it, to be honest with you.
Well, the only thing I fall back on is that Alabama really hasn't produced a great quarterback since Joe Namath.
I know. 100% agree. 100% agree.
You know, there's a lot of promise out there with Jalen Hurts or Tua Tagovailoa. I don't know.
Listen, I get the criticism of the SEC, and I know it's very popular. It's one of the more popular things people say about the conference. It doesn't really produce great quarterbacks.
No.
It's not a quarterback conference. You know, of course there are good quarterbacks that come out of the conference, of course. There's too many teams not to have you land a good one or two every now and then. But it's not, you know, the Pac-12 has produced a great quarterbacks and the Big 12 as well. This conference hasn't done it. The champions of the conference don't. Cam Newton is obviously one. He, you know,
out of Cam Auburn. Newton. I'd say Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning, of course. Right?
But, so it's, you know, that's really it, though, right?
But Danny Werfel didn't work out, right? I mean, you go back to some of the Florida quarterbacks that he's had that didn't pan out and played well at the next level, yet won SEC championships and national championships, right?
Well,
Alabama, the same thing.
I think Tebow never got a fair shot.
Yeah, I never got that fair shot. All right, coming up, more from the NFL. We'll dive more into the Cam Newton release, and we'll preview Kansas City next as we continue with Hour 3 on Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. We'll be right back.